It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
I don't know about you, but September has got to be one of my favorite months of the year. And if you hunt, hike, or fish, I bet it's one of your favorites too. First off, the crowds. They were all over the trails, the parks, the campgrounds, and on the water. But now they faded because the kids are back in school. And for many, summer fun is in the rearview mirror. For the rest of us, though, the fun goes on. If you're an angler, you know September is the month when many fish species are biting really, really aggressively, putting on the proverbial feed bag, as it were, before the cold of late fall and early winter arrives. And if you're a hunter, there's a good chance you are heading afield this week, and boy, oh boy, there are a bunch of opportunities cropping up. Depending on where you live, you may be bow hunting for deer or elk, rifle hunting for bear, caribou, or pronghorn, walking the woods in search of grouse, or hunting the high prairie in search of sharptails. In Canada, waterfowl seasons are underway, and teal season opens up in several American states as well. Oh, and if you just like to hike and camp and enjoy nature, this is the month to hit the road with that RV or camper and enjoy our state and national parks, as well as our national forests and other public lands. Speaking of those lands, September is Public Lands Month, and we thought this would be a good time to catch up with Lan Tawney, the president and CEO of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. He'll be stepping away from a meeting in Washington, D.C. to tell us about how this great organization is not only celebrating the lands you and I get to roam on, but help clean them up, too. We'll also chat with Lan about a few other issues and find out what plans he has this September when it comes to hunting in Montana. After we talk to Lan, we'll switch gears and talk to a traveling fishing professor of sorts. His name, Lance Valentine. And for over 16 years, he has been putting on one-day to four-day educational on-the-water seminars for anglers to help them become better fishermen and women. His specialty is walleye. You'll find him around a lot of the Great Lakes, but he doesn't limit his teaching to just that species. We'll talk to Lance, the man behind teachinfishing.com. No G's there, just after the midway point of our program today. So, what are you going to do with that newfound fishing knowledge? You might want to take it to Oklahoma and see if you can catch the five different species of fish there that make up the Oklahoma Fishing Trail Grand Slam. Lieutenant Governor Matt Pinnell, who is an avid angler and also in charge of outdoors tourism for the Sooner State, will tell you more about this fun opportunity and share some of his favorite places to cast a line there as well. Throw in some news from the fishing tournament trail across our United States for both bass and catfish, and we've got a wonderful September hour of the outdoors coming your way. Let's go ahead and kick it off by introducing you to a very lightweight and capable rifle that I suspect big game hunters are going to love. Next up on America Outdoors Radio, we're taking you to Sheridan, Wyoming. That's where our show is broadcast on KZWY 106.3, and it's also the headquarters for Weatherby, makers of some fantastic rifles and shotguns and ammunition, and they've got something brand new. It's the new Mark V backcountry rifle with the new 6.5 Weatherby RPM cartridge. With us here to tell you more about both of these new products is Kevin Wilkerson with Weatherby. Kevin, great to have you on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me. We're really excited about the new products we got going out in our new headquarters here in Wyoming, and appreciate you calling me.
Well, let's start off with the cartridge itself, the 6.5 Weatherby RPM cartridge. Tell us what's so special about this.
Sure, yeah. You know, it's a little bit to understand more about just the general Weatherby Mark V first, but the 6.5 Weatherby RPM, which stands for Rebated Precision Magnum, was built in combination with the new Backcountry rifle, both the Backcountry standard carbon steel and both the Backcountry titanium action. And this was really Adam Weatherby, third generation family-owned business here in Sheridan, Wyoming. Adam Weatherby's goal was to strap a 5-pound or sub-5-pound rifle to his pack that harnessed Magnum performance. And With that being said, generally Weatherby has always been known for ultra-fast, high-velocity rounds. And what we decided to do was, within the Mark V line, you've got a couple different options. You, of course, have your what we would call our standard action, which is a six lug, and then you would have a larger one that's generally about 3/4 of a pound to a pound heavier, which is called our nine lug, which all Magnums generally sit in that nine lug action. The 6.5 Weatherby RPM is now the fastest 6.5 that can shoot out of a Weatherby six lug action. So what that allows us to do is cut weight from the Magnum side, as well as when you get into that titanium gun, now you're into the incredibly lightweight stuff, but you're shooting a cartridge that's still incredibly fast and has some of the best energy and ballistics in general around.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Mark V backcountry rifle. You just said how light it was, under 5 pounds. That's absolutely amazing to me. But I've always heard, and you can dispel this if it's false, that a light rifle and a Magnum round make for a bad combination just because of the kick, if nothing else.
Yeah, no, you know, that's a thing that's always been around. And one thing to say is that as technology advances, just like everything else that we use on a daily basis, you're going to see things that are going to be able to help dissipate that recoil. And in this gun specifically, the Backcountry and the Backcountry TI, you've got our brand new AccuBrake ST, which really diminishes the recoil substantially. But really, the game changer on this gun is our patent pending 3D Hex recoil reducer, which is a recoil pad design that we've developed here in-house at Weatherby that is the first of its kind. And it really dissipates the energy incredibly well for felt recoil and also muzzle. So, you know, actually a great example of this is we have a film out on YouTube on it, and you can see Adam shoot the first animal with the 6.5 Weatherby RPM and the Backcountry TI. And it's kind of funny because we filmed him shooting, and really when you watch him shoot, the gun barely moves.
Wow.
But he's shooting, you know, a 6.5 at 3,075 feet per second. So it's an unbelievable combination, and really there's not much on the market right now that meets this combination of two products.
Well, I'll tell you what, I absolutely love the innovation that's going into this, combining two products to come out with a great end result. And speaking of the end result, you know, when you design a firearm, there's always an end user in mind. Who is the consumer that's going to be buying this rifle?
Sure. When we're talking about the Backcountry TI, you're obviously looking at that ultra lightweight guy that's wanting to shave ounces. He's bringing in maybe even a small stove, if a stove at all, an ultralight sleeping bag, and he's probably, you know, going after big game in the mountains. It doesn't really matter what big game. The 6.5 Weatherby RPM is definitely capable of most North American big game animals. But, you know, you're looking at sheep, you're looking at mountain goats, you're looking at even elk, anything like that. When you go to the Backcountry, not the TI, you know, you're looking at really a standard rifle there, but it's just an incredible lightweight with that new cartridge. And we've shot mule deer and deer, and it's an incredibly capable cartridge with the rifle combination that really stands out.
Okay, last question for you. When is the new Mark V Backcountry rifle going to be available to hunters, and where can they find it?
Yeah, sure. You know, I would always encourage people to go to weatherby.com. You know, we've gotten quite a bit of information on there to learn more about both products and our whole new Mark V line in general. We've launched quite a few new products. And, you know, you can check that out on our website. And also you can go to a local dealer, come to the website, look at the dealer locator, find one near you, and then go out to that dealer and then purchase one.
Very innovative stuff from Weatherby. If you're looking for a lightweight rifle that's going to knock down just about anything you want to knock down in the backcountry with a screaming fast cartridge, the 6.5 Weatherby RPM cartridge, check out the new Mark V Backcountry rifle and go to weatherby.com to do so. Kevin, thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you.
We've been telling you about Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska for a while now, and there's a reason. They are the only Alaska lodge we talk about in this show. It's because they're truly Alaska's best lodge. The adventure starts with a float plane ride from Ketchikan, after which you'll get the chance to experience some of the best hospitality, food, and wonderful people you'll ever meet. Wildlife is abundant, from bears and deer to eagles and whales, and let's not forget the reason you're here, the fishing. Halibut, salmon, lingcod, rockfish, true cod, and more. It's all waiting for you in abundance at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Book your trip today at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, a nationwide group working to keep public lands in public hands. We've helped ban the use of drones for hunting. We help repair wildlife corridors and key riparian areas. We speak up against illegal ATV use. We collaborate with elected leaders to keep public lands in public hands. We're Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, with membership in all 50 states in Canada. Please join this dynamic conservation group. Check us out at backcountryhunters.org.
We're back with Mike Miesberg at Mardon Resort in Eastern Washington. As we head into fall and early winter, I know a cast and blast getaway is a big reason people come to your resort, isn't it, Mike?
We have cooling waters in the fall, enhance the fish bite, and when waterfowl season opens, we've got vast numbers of local duck, in addition to desert mule deer that are magnificent.
Find out more at MardonResort.com. That's Mardon Resort, where the fish bite, but we don't.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might just get away. AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. September is Public Lands Month, and that's why we thought we would check in with Lan Tawney. He is the CEO and the president of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, an organization that protects our public lands and our access to them as hunters and anglers. Lan, great to have you on the air.
I'm glad to be back, John.
So, Lan, I understand as we speak, you're in Washington, D.C., literally fighting for our rights as hunters and anglers. And there's a lot going on we're going to get into in a minute. But before we do, let's talk about some of the fun things that Lan Tawney is doing this month on our public lands.
Well, thank you, John. I am lucky enough to be able to go grouse hunt with my young daughter. She's 11, and so she can hunt this year. So we are getting this month, we're going to be grouse hunting a lot together with our young lab. And then September 19th, I go into the woods for a week into the Bob Marshall Wilderness, and we're going to take horses in with my two cousins and my uncle, and we're going to go chase elk and mule deer around.
You know, there are truly benefits to having Backcountry Hunters and Anglers headquartered in Missoula, because you've got some great opportunities out there. Now, let's talk a little bit about Public Lands Month, because Backcountry Hunter and Angler chapters around the nation, well, they're cleaning up our public lands. What are some of the events in particular that are going on?
Right. So we have our Public Landowner Film Festival. It's our third year doing that. So that'll be going on all over the country, and these are basically short commercials and short films. I think everything's about 4 minutes or less, that, you know, range from very funny and low production to kind of high-end stuff and serious stuff. So that'll be happening, but, you know, we've really decided that we want to try to pick up 1,000 bags of garbage at the very least during this month with our members. And so that's, you know, organized events, or actual people are just doing it on their own. Unfortunate that we have to do that, but it's also one of the things that we need to do is care and feed, you know, our public land.
Well, you know, I'm in the same boat. I was actually out on some Forest Service land. There's an informal target shooting area out there. My son and I were throwing some clay pigeons, and we were done. We not only cleaned up our stuff, but we cleaned up stuff that had been left by shooters for probably weeks before us. So every little bit helps, folks, and this is the month to do it. Speaking of our public lands, really interesting rule is going into effect through the Department of Interior. E-bikes, they're becoming all the rage in our national forest because you can really go a long ways these days on an electric bike, and the Department of Interior saying it's okay to ride these e-bikes on wilderness trails. What does the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers Association say about this?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we talk about wilderness, you know, but that's mountain bikes or e-bikes, that's not a place for them. You know, we don't have any places where we can go these days where we don't have, you know, the kind of the, I guess, the influence of man. And so, you know, that's just wilderness. But I think what the rule that just came out really was for anywhere that bikes are allowed, that now e-bikes are allowed. And so, you know, these are vehicles that can go faster than mountain bikes can. They take way less effort to get up the mountain. And so we're not, you know, we have a lot of members that use e-bikes, but, you know, we consider them basically just like any other motorized use. And so what this rule effectively does is it changes, you know, allows now motorized use on places where they haven't traditionally been. And so, you know, what's the next thing that's going to be allowed there? And I think that's the slippery slope that we see. And again, we have members that use e-bikes, and they should be able to use them in places where they could use motors, but definitely, in our view, not where they can, not where motors are not allowed at this point.
You know, it is a slippery slope because I see on the one hand where especially our aging population wanting to get in the wilderness, e-bikes are a great tool. And folks, you can go like 20 miles an hour on these with like no effort at all. You basically put as much or as little effort into bicycling along, depending on how much charge you have and how much effort you want to put in. So I get that, but I also get the flip side. Okay, if we allow e-bikes, the people who have dirt bikes are going to say, well, this is already motorized. What's the difference? Why can't I go on? Then the ATV users. And all of a sudden, we've got motorized use, like you said, on trails that never should have motorized use.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm sitting here in D.C., and as we've been talking, like two electric scooters went by. You know, and I think that, you know, it's hard for us to know what technology is going to be coming online, and we just should have these places, you know, where it takes some effort to get into the woods. And then I would also say, you know, what does this do really to elk security, in particular mule deer security, you know, when these vehicles can kind of get up there.
Well, you probably have an excellent point there. On the other hand, Secretary of the Interior did make an announcement that is kind of a win for everybody. They're freeing up $107 million to state parks around the nation. State parks are public lands too. What do you anticipate this money is going to be used for? Deferred maintenance or other projects?
I think it's going to be used mostly for deferred maintenance. You know, the outdoor economy continues to grow in this country, but we are not very good at spending the money that we need to maintain them. And so I think that starts with Congress in this kind of effort because, you know, we have to care and feed these public lands that give us so much. And as I said earlier, you know, recreation kind of increases, you know, the strains on our public lands and state parks or national parks or the national forests. Like they're all in much need of kind of not infrastructure, I would say.
Yeah, it is definitely a factor. And like you said, whether it's the state level or the national level, there's a lot of maintenance that's needed on our roads, our trails, our infrastructure. So glad to see this money's being freed up. It's going to be put for good use. I guess the last question I have, Land, is you're in Washington, D.C. right now. What are some of the coming threats, some of the coming challenges you see that you're in Washington, D.C. discussing with our nation's leaders right now?
You know, I'd talk about an opportunity first. You know, the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which we got permanently reauthorized this last spring, we still need to get full and dedicated funding for that. So that's something that we're working on pretty hard right now. I think there's an opportunity before the end of the year to be able to do that. I think the biggest threat that we're probably facing right now is, you know, Mr. Penley. And you and I have talked about this before, but, you know, when you put, you know, he's in charge of the Bureau of Land Management now, which is 245 million acres. It's the largest piece of public land that we have in this country. And he has made a career out of espousing the dismantle of these very public lands that he is now in charge of. And so, you know, we'd like to make sure that he gets a full hearing in front of the Energy and Natural Resources Committee in the Senate and passes, and he has to pass some scrutiny by both Republicans and Democrats who really care about these public lands. And so I think that's probably a big threat. I think we've talked about funding already. You know, I think continually there's opportunities there, but, you know, the more that we kind of starve our agencies, the less that they can do a good job. And then there's those that want to sell or transfer those public lands, and they have more of an opportunity to do that. So, you know, we're here talking about that this week, and I think we have 42 meetings in 2 days, so we're going to hit it hard.
Wow. 42 meetings in 2 days. You're going to be one tired pup and ready to go grouse hunting and elk hunting and mule deer hunting when you get back. In the meantime, thank you so much for leading the good fight. And folks, if you want to join the fight, go to backcountryhunters.org. That's the website for the backcountry hunters and anglers. And I'm part of this organization. There's thousands of us that are. They're doing great work to protect our public lands and keep them accessible for you and I as hunters and anglers. The website again, backcountryhunters.org. Land, thanks as always for checking in with us at America Outdoors Radio.
John, hope to see you on the trail.
I always love talking to Land. However, as you noticed, cell phone coverage where Land was at in Washington, D.C. wasn't the best. I apologize for the audio quality. One note of clarification, e-bikes, they're not allowed in wilderness areas where only horses and human hikers are allowed. No, as Land was trying to clarify, e-bikes are allowed on Forest Service lands and in national parks, on trails and roads where mountain bikes are currently allowed, though there are still concerns, as we pointed out. Stick around, we've got a whole bunch more of the outdoors coming your way, to include some fishing information you'll want to hear.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. I want to introduce you to a man named Lance Valentine. He's from Michigan, and you might say he's kind of a roaming professor on tour. You see, he's got a website, teachinfishin.com. No G on either one there. Teachinfishin.com. And he will take you out for a day on a charter, not to guide you to fish, but teach you how to catch fish. Or he will put on fishing education weekends where you spend several days learning how to catch specific fish like walleye. Lance, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So, Lance, you just finished up an Eastern Lake Erie fishing education weekend in Dunkirk, New York. How did it go? And why don't you break down day by day what happened there so our listeners have a feel for what you offer?
Absolutely. We started the fishing education weekend model all the way back in 2003. And what it was kind of an on-the-water final exam for guys who've been coming to my seminar series for, you know, 2 or 3 years. We wanted to see if they really learned anything. So we took them on the water back in 2003. And the Dunkirk trip that we just finished was actually our 57th one of these that we've done since 2003. So we do a lot of these, kind of our way to get people on the water and teach them. So what we do is a 4-day weekend. We go Thursday through Sunday. It starts Thursday. Guys can go fishing if they want, but we offer a lot of workshops. We do a lot of hands-on stuff for the kind of techniques we're going to use at a particular area. So this trip was deep water walleye. The walleyes were down, you know, they were down 50, 60, 70 feet over up to 100 feet of water. So We did a lot of work on Thursday, little workshops on how to run lots of lead core, how to use big, heavy snap weights or inline weights, how to use dipsy divers, kind of some of the lures that were going on out there in that part of the world, in the eastern part of Lake Erie. I have two guys that are on my full-time staff, and we do a ton of Lowrance and regular electronics training. So we got on everybody's boat that had a Lowrance unit, updated their unit. If guys wanted to go for a boat ride so we could get their electronics dialed in, regardless of what brand they were, we offered them an hour block to go on the water and actually get their electronics tuned in so they could find fish. So, and then we ended Thursday with an introduction. We introduced ourselves and all of our teachers. We did a little pre-fishing meeting. Here's what's going to happen. Here's where the fish are biting right now. Here's some basic waypoints. Here's some ideas on location and presentation. Let's get ready. Friday, we start with the breakfast. Then we do a little detailed fishing meeting after that. Here's some exact waypoints, kind of where to look for fish, kind of what to look for. And then we offer three short seminars after breakfast. The guys can either go fishing or they can grab those seminars. We let the guys go on the water. And so the latest they leave us is 11 o'clock. They're on the water till about 4:30. They're sharing information on the water through marine radios, or we set up a Facebook page dedicated just to the anglers that are on the trip so they can share where they're catching them, how deep they're catching them, how fast they're going, what colors they're using, what technique they're using. We want them to share all that information. Then we bring them back Friday. We have two workshops before dinner. We have a group dinner where we can kind of fellowship with each other and kind of get to learn about each other. And then we have a guest speaker that speaks after our dinner on Saturday. This trip we had Trevor Sumption from Fishhawk talk about his new Fishhawk product. That's a portable product that you can take on the boat and learn how to see currents and depth and lure speed down at the depth without having to have a downrigger on your boat. Then we just kind of break up from there. We start Saturday as the same process as Friday is. Breakfast, some little meetings, a fishing meeting, a couple seminars, fishing on the water, a couple workshops, then dinner, then a guest speaker. We had Jim Steele, who's a multiple tournament winner over there right out of Dunkirk Harbor, come and talk to us about how deep water current affects location and presentation. That was our feature seminar on Saturday. And then Sunday, we feed the guys breakfast. We have a little fishing meeting. We send them on their way, and then they are on their own after Sunday. So it's four full days of workshops and learning and hardcore seminars, hands-on stuff, sharing information on the water, just learning how to use a new technique, learning how to fish a new body of water, meeting new fishing friends, and just having a really, really good time.
This sounds like an amazing experience for anybody who wants to up their game. And listening to you, I can tell this isn't really for a beginner who's never fished before. This is for that intermediate angler. They may not specialize in walleye per se, but it's for somebody who's got a boat, has an idea of what they're doing, but really wants to go basically from maybe JV to varsity or high school to college level knowledge about fishing for different species and different bodies of waters. Absolutely stunning. How much does this cost?
We did that whole trip in Dunkirk with all the lodging, boat launch, and a boat slip if you wanted to stay there. And all the events we offered, double occupancy was $425 per person.
Wow.
And then if you live local, we offered a no lodging option. You got to participate in anything, but you went back to your house, and that was only $275 for all 4 days. And you don't have to be, actually, we had two guys at this trip who were shore anglers, never been on a boat before, but lived in the area and wanted to learn it. So you can come as a non-boater. We will put you on a boat with other anglers who volunteer space on their boat to help teach. And really, if you know nothing, you're going to be a little out of places. You're going to be overwhelmed, but it's a great place to kind of come and get your feet wet and see if a particular place and or style of fishing kind of fits you, and you can kind of work at it from there. So, you know, we have loner equipment available. We had loner rods full of lead core. We had loner rods with braid on so guys could run dipsies. If you had a technique you didn't have the equipment for, we had the ability there for you to take equipment and actually go out and try it. So your analogy is right. Go from the JV to the varsity. But you know what? If you are on the freshman team and you just want to try out, don't be afraid to come, because we have a ton of guys there. And the beauty of these trips, John, is everybody takes on that mentor role after about the first or second day, right? Everybody's kind of like, man, I really want to share my information with people because I really see how good I'm getting because I'm learning from someone else. So we kind of really encourage that mentorship, not just from the guys who are putting the program on and our guest speakers. We encourage that from angler to angler while they have time to hang out with each other.
I absolutely love this. Got to ask, do you have any more of these fishing education weekends coming up this fall?
We do. We have one more. Our traditional one, kind of where we started and we've done every year since 2003, is in Huron, Ohio, which is just east of Sandusky. on the south shore of Lake Erie, and that is our tradition. We call it our Fishing Education Weekend Trophy Hunt because, honestly, that time of year you can catch, every time your offshore planer board goes back, there's a chance that you are really going to, you can catch a 12, 13, 14-pound walleye there, and it wouldn't make anybody go, hmm. We do that. It's always the first weekend of November, so this year our dates, the Thursday date is October 31st, and we end on Sunday, November 3rd, and that's our traditional Lake Erie Trophy Hunt Fishing Education Weekend. That's kind of how the whole thing started. We get about 100 to 110 anglers at that trip. It's kind of our trip that everybody puts on their calendar. Once they've been there, they always want to come back. So that's kind of how we end our fishing season with that trip. So we're looking forward to another great year on Lake Erie.
And I got to ask, are there any openings left? We do have listeners tuning in on WTYM out of Pennsylvania and stations in Hamilton, Ohio as well that might be interested in this.
Absolutely, we have openings. We can take up to 130. That's kind of our capacity for our food and seminar area, so we take up to 130. And I think right now, I checked yesterday, I think our sign-ups right now are about 28, 29 people, and we kind of know that, you know, as we roll into the end of September, early October, then we really start getting sign-ups. So we'd love to have guys sign up, especially if they're new to the area or they fished the area before and just don't really do as well as they could. We focus a lot on crankbait fishing. We focus a lot on depth control. We focus a lot on picking the right crankbait. We focus a lot on speed control, reading current, pre-planning a trip, understanding what's going on. So we kind of teach the whole foundation of, you know, pattern fishing and understanding how to plan based on the weather, how to make adjustments, put a pattern together on the water. So we cover all of that stuff in our seminars and workshops. So it's not just let's go fishing and catch a few fish. It's all about laying a good foundation. So after they leave our trip, the next time they go fishing, they're much, much better equipped. No matter where they go or what they fish for, they're much better equipped with some foundational knowledge to lay a good base to make them make good decisions and get good information so they can catch more fish no matter what they fish for, no matter where they go in the future.
Lance, I am very impressed. It's an incredible bargain. It's a great investment. I absolutely love this. Folks, if you want to sign up, there's still a few spots. The website to go to, teachinfishin.com. That's teachinfishin, no G's, .com, or you can go to teachinfishin on Facebook. If you want to really, really up your game as a walleye angler or just as an angler, period, because you're going to learn techniques and you're going to learn things that are going to help you catch multiple species, these fishing education weekends, they're definitely sound like a great opportunity to help you do that. And Lance, we didn't even get into your day-long charters on the Detroit River, Saginaw Bay, and Lake Erie, where you're spending time teaching people how to fish. We'll have to have you on the air again to talk about that in the future.
Absolutely looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in February. We will actually be at the Portland, Oregon show with a Teach and Fishing booth. So anybody out that part of the world that's new to us, we'd love to see you in Portland and sit down and talk a little bit about what's going on and just talk fishing for a little bit.
Lance, we will see you there. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
There's a place where the fishing is year-round, where the sun shines 300 days a year. The wineries and breweries are right downtown. The hiking and cycling offer spectacular views you just don't get in the big cities. Fortunately, the place is real and vibrant. It's the Dalles, Oregon, just 90 short minutes from Portland, along the gorgeous Columbia River, where the adventures are limited only by your imagination. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
We've been telling you about Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska for a while now, and there's a reason. They are the only Alaska lodge we talk about in this show. It's because they're truly Alaska's best lodge. The adventure starts with a float plane ride from Ketchikan, after which you'll get the chance to experience some of the best hospitality, food, and wonderful people you'll ever meet. Wildlife is abundant, from bears and deer to eagles and whales, and let's not forget the reason you're here, the fishing. Halibut, salmon, lingcod, rockfish, true cod, and more. It's all waiting for you in abundance at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Book your trip today at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
Looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer an affordable platform to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting host John Cruz through his website at AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com. But hurry, if you wait too long, this big opportunity might just get away. That's AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com.
Want to put a smile on your face? Start off by putting a smile blade from Max Lure Company on your line. Max smile blades come in different sizes and spin at slow speeds, not like those metal blades on other lures. Buy them separately or on ready-made rigs like the Wedding Ring Spinner, Double Whammy, Wally Pop, and more. Smile blades work for trout, bass, walleye, as well as other species, and when that fish hits, you'll have a grin on your face that won't go away. The smile blade, only from Max Lure Company.
This year, my daughter is deer hunting for the first time, and what she learns is more important than bagging that first buck. Responsibility, safety, conservation, and the beauty of our natural world. Deer hunting is an American tradition that teaches lessons for life. A message from this station and Whitetails Unlimited.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter, and with over 90 locations, you're sure to find a store near you full of the gear you need to succeed this hunting season. Firearms, ammo, archery equipment, decoys, clothing, boots, and more. You'll find it all at Sportsman's Warehouse. Better still, the knowledgeable staff can help you with tips and frequent in-store seminars, all designed to help you bag a trophy or a limit this hunting season. Find a location near you or shop online today at sportsmanswarehouse.com.
Our final stop this week on America Outdoors Radio takes us to the state of Oklahoma. And our next guest is Lieutenant Governor Matt Pinnell, who is also the state Secretary of Tourism and Branding. Lieutenant Governor, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, I've got you on the air today because your Tourism and Recreation Department put out a press release about seven anglers who completed the Oklahoma Fishing Trail Grand Slam. Very intriguing concept. Let's break this down into two pieces. First off, what is the Oklahoma Fishing Trail?
Well, yeah. So when I became the Secretary of Tourism, I'm a avid fisher myself, kind of grew up fishing with my grandfather and some of my favorite memories growing up and some of my favorite memories in high school and college fishing with my buddies. So I said, I know Oklahoma has some of the most diverse fishing in the country, but we didn't do a good job of promoting that. And so when I became Secretary of Tourism, I worked with the Tourism Department to create the Oklahoma Fishing Trail, working with the Department of Transportation with on the signage part of that, worked with the Oklahoma Wildlife Department on making sure we had the correct lakes. And in about 7 or 8 months, we got this done. And we now have a Oklahoma Fishing Trail around the state of Oklahoma that we're promoting, not just to Oklahomans, but around the country as well.
And this is what, 58 different bodies of water that makes up the trail?
It is. Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma, very blessed with certainly the lakes that we have and the quality of fishing in those lakes. Over 200 lakes in the state. We have over 50 that are on the actual trail. And really just shows the diversity. I mean, you know, you can do paddlefish down to trout in Oklahoma. A lot of people obviously know us for some really great bass fishing and crappie for sure. But, you know, we have paddlefish, which is one of only a couple states that do have that, and some really world-class trout fishing in the state of Oklahoma as well. So we're really pushing the diversity of the different species that we have in Oklahoma that, you know, anyone looking to do a kind of a fishing trip with their buddies can do it in Oklahoma. And you can catch a variety of fish within 72 hours.
I love this. So let's talk about what constitutes a Grand Slam on the Oklahoma Fishing Trail.
Yeah, so the Grand Slam was, again, okay, well, we know we have really diverse fishing, but we wanted there to be a hook, you know, no pun intended, that we wanted, you know, with if people were coming into town, you can kind of complete your Grand Slam of fishing, and we mail a little decal to you for your Yeti cup or a cooler or tackle box, for that matter, if you catch four different species of fish in Oklahoma. You have to upload those photos, very easy process, upload those photos to on our website, Travel OK website, fishingok.com website. You upload those photos and we'll mail you a Grand Slam of Fishing sticker right away.
And folks, the four species that you want to catch are bass, catfish, crappie, and sunfish. You also need to catch a bonus fish. And those are a couple of the fish that the Lieutenant Governor has already mentioned. Paddlefish, very unique species, trout, and also sawgeye. So if you want to find out details, we're going to send you to a website in just a minute. But before we do, I'm going to ask you on a personal note, what are a couple of your favorite lakes and rivers to fish?
Yeah, you know, Lake Ten Killer in Oklahoma, which, you know, the Jimmy Houston, we all know that name.
Oh, yes.
Jimmy Houston, that's his favorite lake in Oklahoma, Lake Ten Killer. It's a beautiful lake, a beautiful recreational lake, but also some of the best fishing in the state right there at Ten Killer, and that's Jimmy Houston's favorite lake. You can catch a variety of fish there. And Grand Lake, you know, Grand Lake in northeast Oklahoma, we've had the Bassmaster Classic there a couple times already, and it's going to be coming back again. It's just been a home run for us. Some of the best bass fishing in the entire country. It's a top 10 bass fishing lake. But that's also where you can catch the paddlefish as well. So you can actually catch four or five different varieties of fish right at Grand Lake, one of the premier lakes in the country for sure right there. So those are a couple of the lakes. You know, I live in northeast Oklahoma. I'm in Oklahoma City, obviously, all the time as lieutenant governor. And again, you can get to most of these lakes within a couple hours of each other. And so, you know, come to Oklahoma. Complete your grand slam of Oklahoma fishing and spend just a wonderful weekend of fishing the great outdoors.
I think it's a great idea. And the beauty of this, folks, is that you don't have to be an expert to complete this grand slam. You're going to be exposed to a variety of different waters, a variety of different species. And once you get that sticker, boy, oh boy, you've got some serious bragging rights that you can share for the rest of your life. Again, it is the Oklahoma Fish and Trail Grand Slam. Catch five different species of fish, and you get that decal. You get the bragging rights. If you want to find out more, just go to the following website, fishinok.com. No G there, fishinok.com. Make plans to go to Oklahoma. Make plans to go fishing. Make plans to complete that Grand Slam. Lieutenant Governor, thank you so much for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you so much for the time.
Turning to news from the Fishing League Worldwide College Bass Tournament Trail, Youngstown State University has won the Yeti FLW College Fishing Northern Conference Tournament on Lake Erie. The Youngstown State University duo of Jeffrey Jardine and Mike Sewells, both hailing from Ohio, won the event last weekend with a 5-bass limit weighing 22 pounds even. The victory earned the Penguins Bass Club $2,000 and, more importantly, a slot in the 2020 FLW College Fishing National Championship. According to Suits, a senior majoring in criminal justice, it was a pretty slow morning. We only had 2 smallmouth bass in the live well by noon. With 2 hours left in the day, we made a move back to a shoal that we had fished that morning, and it was on. I reeled in a 5-pound smallmouth, and as I was unhooking it, Jeff got into a 4.5-pounder. We caught 3 good ones within 20 minutes. We ended up catching 7 or 8 keepers throughout the day, and if it had been a sheep's head tournament, we would have won that too, joke Suits. I must have caught around 20 sheep's head throughout the day. That's a pretty great story and a lesson learned. Don't necessarily give up on a spot that you've got confidence in, even if it's not paying off for a while. Switching from bass to catfish, the Cabela's King Cat Catfish Tournament Trail met in Pekin, Illinois last weekend, where 29 teams from 4 states met to fish the Illinois River. The winners of the 2-day event were Ken Luttrell and Brian Espy, both Illinois residents, who found success fishing about 4 miles upstream of Peoria Dam. Their biggest fish was a 35-pound flathead, but on day one alone, the two caught 50 catfish using Cut Creek Chub for bait, and by the end of the event, they weighed in over 102 pounds of whiskered fish to earn honors for both the heaviest bag limit and the biggest fish, too. That netted the Fat Boys Custom Rods team of Espy and Luttrell a check for nearly $4,500 and a chance to fish in the national championship coming up November 1st at Wheeler Lake in Alabama. Congratulations to all these winners, and on a personal note, I'm hoping I come out a winner as well this weekend because I'm once again fishing the annual Old Farts Bass Tournament out of Mardon Resort at Eastern Washington's Potholes Reservoir. My longtime friend and fishing partner Rusty Johnston and I have got a plan, just like we have had a plan the last four times we fished this bass tournament. But this year, we are hoping our plan will allow us to bring in five fish weighing at least 20 pounds. That's what I think we're going to need to get in on the money. Wish us luck. As usual, we're going to need it. If you want to find out more about Mardon Resort or Sportsman's Cove Lodge or the Dalles Area Chamber of Commerce, great places to go fishing, and some of our other sponsors too, head to our website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. You'll find links to the sponsors that bring us this show. And by the way, if you own a sporting goods related or outdoors oriented business and think that advertising on a network of 80 stations heard by hunters and anglers and outdoors enthusiasts throughout the nation sounds like a good idea, get a hold of me. We should talk. You can also check us out on Facebook. Our page there is America Outdoors Radio. Like us and follow us. We often put up information there that's just not found during the show because there's just not enough time to cover it all. Here's hoping the rest of your September is filled with fishing and hunting and outdoors opportunities. I also hope that you are blessed in the days ahead. It truly is a beautiful month. The colors are starting to change in the foliage. The air is getting cooler. The light's getting softer. It's just a great time to be outside. So do me a favor and remember this. It is your country and your outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
NorthwestFishingReports.com is the Northwest's largest fishing reports website, featuring well over 50,000 fishing reports, videos, articles, and more, all 100% free. Catch more fish with Northwest Fishing Reports. Log on today.